All right, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations.
Wow!
Yeah.
Welcome back. And as you can see, we got a new face, Panty Angus. Woo! Wow. He's our longtime friend, and it's the first time he's been on the podcast. What do you think about that? What do you think about that, everybody?
That's so great.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm lost for words.
This is actually impromptu because, yeah, we weren't planning on Angus being on the podcast, but, you know, here he is, and I think he's got a lot to say. All right, so we're going to be doing shorter episodes from now on, and we're going to be doing them in season. So this is the second season.
Nice.
After 58 episodes, we're finally on season 2.
Wow.
So welcome. And this topic, what we're going to talk about is purpose, how to find your divine purpose. So we're all in that age of quarter life, and it's become a saying or a phrase that sometimes people are in that quarter life crisis. And so we wanted to help people out with that by answering the question, how do we find our God-given purpose?
We're going to start by seeking out God. That's the place to start. You know, purpose is only given by the Creator, by the purpose giver. So the only way you're going to find your purpose is, well, you have to come to God first. And in order for you to come to God first, you need to get saved. You need to accept Jesus Christ into your life and you repent of your sins. And then you enter into this relationship with God, which He then starts revealing things to you, about you, for you, and of course for His kingdom as well. So, you know, when you get saved, you're not just getting saved for the reason of being saved, but there's also a purpose behind it, hence why we're talking about purpose, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what I've always seen it as, God's ultimate purpose is Him establishing His kingdom, which is establishing His people. Mm. So, you know, we all have a function and a role in that kingdom and that universal community of believers. So tapping into prayer, getting into connection with God is crucial in understanding that.
Mm. Has anyone ever felt that quarter life crisis phenomenon?
Yeah, I have. Like I turned 26 recently and I got it into a point where it was like, I go to work, I come back, I'd wind down and it's already like half my night's already gone. Mm. And I had nothing else to do but eat and then go to sleep. And then I'd wake up and do the same thing. And I was like, man, is this my life? And I'd be at work and I'd be looking out the window. We had this awesome view of over all of Sydney. I was just looking out. I was like, man, like there's so many office buildings. This isn't just what life is, dude. Like there is so much more to just working a 9 to 5, go home, make some dinner and then, you know, meal prep and then go work out and stuff and then do all this other stuff. Like there's so much more. People are freaking out because they just don't know what to do. I was one of them. And if anyone's in that spot right now, just be encouraged. Like if you're in your mid-20s or late 20s, early 30s, like, dude, we're still young. We're allowed to make mistakes. We're allowed to jump around. We're allowed to try and find out who we are. We're allowed to go travel to see the world. We're allowed to do all this different stuff while obviously having God part of all of it. God wants to be part of our everyday. And that's ultimately what our divine purpose is. Just to be totally in love with God. We talked about this in a previous podcast, but I heard Michael Koulianos. He was talking about purpose, and if anyone was lost in it, that was a sermon. He was saying that if you don't know what your purpose is, and if your only purpose in life is to just love Jesus and get to know Him, that's more than enough. Because along the way, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you all the things that you're supposed to be doing. He'll open up doors for you. He'll speak to you about different things. Like when you know the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is just trust Him. Because the Bible says that God has already preordained the steps that we're supposed to walk in. So I mentioned before that I don't have a 10-year plan. Like I don't have that. I don't have a 5-year plan. Like even James, I wouldn't say discourages it, but he says such boasting shouldn't be done. We're supposed to be saying like, God willing, we'll go to this place, we'll go to that place. So in terms of where you're supposed to be at this moment in time, you're supposed to be where you are right now. And if you feel like you're not, go to God. It's as easy as that. It's check in. Like, God, I don't feel at peace in the position that I'm in right now. And then God will reveal to you, well, kiddo, you're comparing yourself. You're not supposed to. That might even be why you feel that way.
That's right.
And He might be saying nope, I've called you to be in this season. I've called you to be in this this place at this very moment in time. And sometimes he might even say, kiddo, like you're, I'm moving you into another area. I'm expanding your territory. I'm expanding your tent pegs. Mm. We just have to be constantly in communion with Jesus, always. Mm. If you don't have a five-year plan, just have the plan to love Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and everything will just work out.
That's right.
So,
yeah, I really agree with that. Crisis feeling is when you're comparing your timeline with other people's timeline.
It's huge.
So one of the big things that really helped me with comparison, so I was praying and just talking with the Holy Spirit about, I was asking him for insight when it comes to overcoming comparison. And what I was getting was to compare yourself with someone else is useless because the best case scenario is you live their life when I haven't called you to live their life.
Yeah, that's right.
So you really need to tap into your creator, the one who has written your life in a book. So one of the big revelations I've gotten recently was in Psalm 139. There's a part in that chapter where it talks about God has written your destiny and plan in a book. And then after that verse, it says, his thoughts of you outnumber the grains of sand on earth. And the revelation I got was just picture yourself getting a handful of sand and counting how much sand is in that handful, right? And it's like countless. And then how many handfuls of sand is in one beach, right? And then how many beaches are there in the world? And then how many deserts are there in the world? And so his plan for you is so comprehensive. The times where we deviate from that plan, we walk out of that plan, we hit roadblocks, we get sidetracked, we backslide, all of that stuff. Is it in God's plan for you to get stuffed up like that? Absolutely not. But was he surprised? No.
Yeah.
And so that was so big for me because something that I've been going through was that quarter life crisis, and it was because I was comparing myself with everybody. Just to give you context of what I was going through, I was feeling like I'm the only single person that I know that's still at church. And so I was comparing myself, like, what's wrong with me? Or I was comparing where I'm at with work, where I'm at with life. I'm not producing, I'm not where I think I should be. And I felt like I missed it. There was a path that God created for me, and I've missed it, and I can't get back to it. But is it God's plan for me to go through this? No, not necessarily. But is he surprised? No. He's got a he's got a plan of redemption no matter where. That's good. And that's where the trillions upon trillions of thoughts about you comes in. Yeah, he outnumbers the grains of sand on earth in terms of thoughts of you. Mm. So yeah, he's omniscient. So is he surprised that you sinned? Is it part of his plan that you sinned? No, but is he surprised? Is he surprised that you backslid? No. Is he surprised that even after so many times of sinning and repenting, is he surprised about that? No. He's got a plan at any point in life. And I think that, I hope that encourages people that no matter where you are, it's not too late. As long as you're alive, he has a plan for you to get out of there.
Yeah, just piggybacking off of that, you just triggered a thought. I was listening to a message from the Upper Room. The pastor of the church, Michael Miller, he was talking about how the Upper Room started. He was going through all these different phases, and there's one point where he was about to get married, but he was such in a he was in such a dark place. He completely called the engagement off 2 weeks to the wedding. Everything started falling apart. Some time after that, he's reconciled with his now wife. Everything's going smoothly. All the dreams and visions he had about the Upper Room, the words he got about the Upper Room years and years and years ago, he walked into the building and everything just started flooding back, like from his memories. Like he started remembering everything, and he got alone with God, and he's like, God, you knew that we were going to be here. And he said, all he could feel was Jesus smiling. He said, like, I messed up my life, and you knew. And he says again, I just felt Jesus smiling. The word he got from the Lord was, you're not big enough to mess up my plan for you. Mm. Oh, bro, when I heard that, I started breaking down. Yeah. I started crying, dude. Yeah. 'Cause at that point, I felt like I missed it as well, like you were saying. And having heard that, it is so sobering. And it just shows the love of the Father. It shows how big He is in comparison to what we're going through and how many times we've messed up. You're never too big to mess up God's plan for your life. Mm. So as long as you just turn away from whatever you did, say sorry to God, that's it. That's all you have to do. Mm. If you messed up, you confess it. Happy days. You're exactly where you left off. Mm. And God will guide you through. Just wanted to say that.
I think Angus knows something about that.
Does he?
Yes.
So it's just, this is, I guess, going along with what Jello was saying, as you guys who were at church know, I recently just shared the experiences that I've gone through, and it definitely fits in line with the whole idea of a quarter life crisis. For those who don't know, I'm 24 years old, 25 in a few weeks. And it got to a point where exactly the same thing. I was comparing myself to what was going around with those around me. Mm. I was comparing myself with those at work, those I went to school with, admittedly even to you guys sometimes. And I know, not the best thing, but that's just being honest there. Mm-hmm. And trying to portray, I guess, myself as someone different to try to meet what I thought I had to be through that comparison. Mm. Definitely feeds into that crisis situation when you get so caught up in the comparison that you're blinded to what's actually going on around you. You're blinded to where you know that you're going to go, or you're blinded to the purposes that God has around you.
Yeah.
It definitely goes in with what, again, for those who don't know, Brother Jerry was a Canadian preacher who came to visit our church, Harvest Now, and there was a prayer session one night. And at the end of it, he kind of took me to the side and he's like, Angus, you're going to go through a wilderness. Mm. You're going to go through a wilderness season. And this was, I think I was like maybe 18, 19 at the time. So this was a few years ago. And I thought, oh, I'd already gone through that, so no problem now. Well,
been there, done that.
Boy, you were wrong.
A little bit different there, a little bit of a different situation. And I remember as I was going through counseling, I went through therapy. One thing the counselor I had said, he's like, oh, it sounds like you're going through an existential crisis or existential dread, so to speak. And that is when you start to question everything. That is when you start to question your life, your friends, families, everything around you. You start to question because you're so unsure of things. You become unsure in yourself. I definitely became unsure of the word. I became unsure of God because I was so caught up, so blinded by everything that was going on around me. And mind you, there was multiple situations that had I stayed focused on the word, had I stayed focused on God, probably wouldn't have gone through it, but I did. Mm-hmm. And I definitely have this, I guess, appreciation for that moment. It's like, I definitely never would want to go through it again. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Do not recommend. But I'm appreciative that I did because I've come out of the other side different and with much more of an appreciation of God, of those around me, of my life, the way I am. Mm-hmm. And in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Wow. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?
Preach it. Wow.
I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Yeah, wow.
Like, I was blinded to everything. Mm. I was very much like, I do not want to talk about God. I do not want to pray. I do not want to read the word. Mm. I went to dinner with Chan and Yang, and I remember explicitly saying, I don't want the cliche answers. Yep. The same answers that I would give to someone if they were in my position, I didn't want, because I was blinded at that point thinking, man, it's just going to be more of the same, more of the same. Is it going to actually do anything? Mm. And coming back now, I'm like, man, how blinded to the truth of that I was at that time. And it's a reminder that no matter what you're going through, no matter how overwhelming it might be, no matter what the voices in your head are telling you, no matter what your thoughts are saying or how you see yourself, he still sees you as his child and he still loves you. And there is purpose in that love. And ultimately, as I shared, it was love that helped bring me back.
Yeah.
You know, he used the relationship that I have with my girlfriend to really realize that, hang on a second, I am still loved by him. And it is displayed through the love that she has for me. And in that, I've been able to ultimately realize that the love of God will just reveal things to you. It will reveal things about you and it will just open up doors. So, yeah.
Yeah, praise God. Yeah, Cheyenne, we haven't heard from you.
Okay. That was so good. Even though we've heard it before, but it's so good.
Quick, can I just share something? So a bit of context for Angus, just for those who are listening. So Angus is one of these guys who came to Christ a few years ago, was radically changed and was just filled with just love and power of Jesus and became like a, honestly, he was a really radical preacher from what I've seen. And, you know, he was super on fire, was heavily involved with the ministry and then just, you know, it got to a point where I think we hit lockdown. He got affected. This whole thing he's talking about with the comparison thing, he just took over. He was isolated. I remember even at one point I was talking to you about the Bible, like, dude, I haven't read the Bible in years. Like in months. Like, I don't want to read it. And I was like, what's going on? And yeah, so that whole time period was like a two-year time period where he just disappeared, you know, because he was like, as a team, ministry-wise, he was like he was a crucial member of that. He was heavily involved in a lot of what we did. And of course, he, like you said, he received that word that he was going to go through his wilderness. Went through that wilderness 2 years later. He recently just came back.
Yeah, praise God.
So we were like, man, we have to have Angus on this, man. And, you know, he had to share his story because, honestly, it's been such a blessing. We're praying for long.
I knew that was happening in the background. I know these guys. I know these guys too well to not to not expect that. I knew that it was happening.
Yeah. So hopefully one day soon we'll get like the full testimony about that whole journey in depth. You know, I'm sure it will bless you guys because it's a really, really incredible story. And he does have it shared at one of our services, so there is like a little snippet somewhere of that. So yeah, look into that for the and the Harvest Now YouTube page will probably be in there somewhere. So if you want to hear a bit more about his story, definitely check it out. So sorry, Shay, I just wanted to share a bit of context for Angus because it's amazing. Amazing what God does for people.
Yeah, prayer works.
Yes.
And he's back. So if you guys have are going through a situation where your friend is gone, pray for them. And if you're going through that, be encouraged by Angus's testimony. He's back. Praise God. Yeah, Jane.
Yeah, I think all our answers are like tied into this one sole thing of our primary focus is to be loved by the Father. First and foremost, at Lifehouse just this past Wednesday, we're talking about purpose and calling and what that kind of means. If we get that straight, if we nail that, to be loved by the Father, to receive his love, to just be his child and be loved by him, then everything else will be so easy.
That's right.
We'll figure everything out like on the way.
That's right.
But to walk with the Father. And while I guess everyone was sharing, I just was thinking of how a parent sees their child. And like no parent expects a young child to get something back from them. All you want is to pour your love into it, into them, into that thing.
He / she.
Yes. So yeah, that's the primary focus. And it's if we don't get that straight, then it'll come from performance. It'll come from works. Come from trying to get rich. All this other stuff where it's not really important. Everything stems from being loved by the Father. And then from that, whatever pleases him, that's where our purpose and our purposefulness and our usefulness can come from. How can we serve others? How can we love God by serving people? When Jesus was on earth, he said that I have been anointed to preach the gospel, to set the captives free, to heal the sick, make blind eyes see. So there was an anointing, there was an assignment on his life, there was a purpose for why he was here. It was to serve people and to set them free and to reconcile us back to the Father. And so he knew that because he was in deep, deep fellowship with the Father all the time. So he was so confident and full of, you know, boldness in order to say that itself in itself.
That's right. Yeah.
To know your purpose, like what Jamison said, like know the Father. Receive his love. Receive his forgiveness.
Yeah. All right, yeah. I'm thinking maybe we'll continue on in another episode. But we got to finish, so let's summarize our thoughts just quickly. So I reckon not a handlebar, right? Something different. Okay.
Shouts out to Handlebar Podcast.
Yeah, shouts out. They're good.
They're really good, man. Awesome. I messaged them.
Yeah.
I messaged back.
Okay. Wow. If you message us, we'll message back. Maybe. No, yeah, we will. But yeah, so I get, like, hearing what everyone's saying, I think the something to take away is to not compare yourself with other people, because just like what Angus said, comparison blinds you to what God's purpose for your life is. And when you're trying to seek God with like already a picture of your life, you are not able to receive what his picture is because you already have one. You got to let that go. So yeah. Anybody else?
All good, all good.
All good.
All good.
All right, so let's just pray. Thank you, Father, for the person that's at the other end of this podcast. I thank you, Father, that you know exactly what they're going through. You are there with them. You know what they're feeling. I thank you, Lord, that you've created them with a purpose. They are your handiwork, created for good works that you've prepared beforehand. And I thank you, Father, for revelation for what they are supposed to do on earth, why they're here, in Jesus' name. Come against comparison, anything that would seek to hinder them hearing your voice when it comes to purpose and vision and destiny. In Jesus' name, I cast that out. I speak freedom over them. And I thank you, Father God, for a free flow of revelation of purpose and destiny and passion for your kingdom. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. We'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.
Letters.
See you.
Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at contact@harvestnowchurch.com to suggest a topic to talk about or to ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.